Stratus.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sonny DeMarello.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratus action is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
You see them now, John. Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice.
With your host, Sing With Me, Children, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Good with words, but I'm worse. But it started out a joke of a romantic stuck to my tongue. Way down with words, too overdramatic. Tonight is a can't get much worse. Worse, no one should ever feel like I'm too.
And welcome to Rack Rack here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesday. That's right, go to YouTube.com/MBG1211. He's got some awesome stuff. He just reviewed the brand new, very few people have it, Bray Wyatt figure. Very jealous. So once again, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for that. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever corny, the wind beneath my wings, Sir Rockin.
Well done on that. Well done. Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. What's up?
Well, I was going to say you have the whole world in your hands, but, you know.
You did that to me earlier.
And I'll do it again.
I know. And it won't stop tonight. Just point that one out. Hi, everybody. It really, really won't stop tonight because, you know, that's what she does. She just gets things stuck in my head over and over and over and over again.
You know what? My goal is to get Fandango's theme, and he's got the whole world in his hands, stuck in your head at the same time, so they mix, and it's this weird thing.
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
By the way, tomorrow is my birthday, so if anybody would like to send me that man to sing me happy birthday, I would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, he's got the whole wide world in his hands. It's now a sound clip.
It's an awesome sound clip. Anyway, we have a lot to get into last night because, well, last week I was sort of graduating from college, so we really didn't do a show. Sorry about that, but, you know, I only get to see my family about once every 6 months, so, yeah. No offense, guys. But we've got news, we've got notes, we have to talk about Impact tonight, we have to talk about Sacrifice from last week because, well, we didn't really get to talk about it much.
No, we did. We previewed it. It happened Sunday, so we have to actually review it.
Yeah, I know, but we didn't get to talk about it on Wrestle Talk Radio or anything. You know, and of course, we've got tonight's exciting Impact, and, well, Extreme Rules is Sunday. So we've got to, of course, preview and pick that. But before we get to all of that, we have our question of the night, which ties into Extreme Rules.
And it is simple as this. What are you most looking forward to this Sunday at Extreme Rules?
Gee, I wonder what I could possibly be looking forward to. I have no idea.
We'll see. She's looking forward to We'll see.
No, I think it has something to do with a husky bearded man in a cage.
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
I swear to God they got him singing lessons. Because he's gotten better. Unless he can just really sing, and he's just now starting to really sing. Because he was kind of shy about it before. And now he's sounding much better.
Because he's got the whole world in his hands.
Totally. So, we're just going to jump right into the news, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at pwmania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And, well, we kind of have to go with one of the biggest stories of the week, which is, of course, it was announced earlier that there were 4 releases this week from NXT, which is a little surprising.
5.
Well, 4 technical releases and then one person asked for it.
Still a release.
It's still a release, but still, you know, it's... 4 people did not ask for it, and one person kind of did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that is true.
Anyway, we saw the release of Oliver Gray, which makes me a little sad because he was kind of cute. Danny Burch. And a kind of a surprise, Shaw Guerrero was released.
She just came back, didn't she?
Yeah, she took time off for personal reasons. She took about a year off, and now she had come back, and they released her. So I guess they weren't pleased with kind of with the way things were going.
Maybe her commitment was in question.
Possibly. Sarah Bachman was the one who asked for her release.
She was the bodybuilder, I believe.
Yes. And then, kind of a surprise, Mason Ryan as well.
But is it really a surprise?
Yes and no. Because he had, like, Shawn and Oliver hadn't been on NXT TV. Danny Burch had been jobbing on NXT TV, and then we never saw Sarah Bachman. But Mason Ryan had been on TV. He'd been kind of featured. He was one that he had gone up to the main roster. He was in the New Nexus, and then he got sent back down, and he's been down in developmental ever since. So I was a little, you know, I was a little surprised, but not really, because I guess they were having a hard time just finding something for him.
He's 32 years old in developmental. It doesn't seem like there was anything to go there. I mean, you can't be a lifer in developmental, and that's the thing. So it's like, what do you do with a guy who you tried to push once, didn't really go over well, and they've been trying to repackage him for 3 years? Think about it. 3 years they've been trying to find something for him, and they just couldn't. So it's like, do you continue to pay the guy, try to find something for him as he gets older and older and older and really not improving?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really you can do. So, I mean, I understand it, and I get it. Like I said, I was slightly surprised, but not really.
No, timing-wise, it is surprising because he's been on NXT TV lately, so it's like, okay. But when you think about it, it makes a little sense.
It does make a little sense. Oliver Gray was another surprise because he just came back off an ACL tear, and he had been brought on TV. He had been jobbing, but he had been brought on TV, and so it was like, oh, okay. Weird. So I guess he wasn't healing, or he wasn't doing as well as they thought. Because that's the thing, is they're much more serious in NXT about releases and that kind of thing, and only the best make it to television. That's the thing. They actually have about 80 or 90 people down in NXT right now.
Right, and so you can only... They feature, what, 20... A third of them, maybe? 30 wrestlers?
Not even
on TV?
Yeah. On TV, you're lucky if you get maybe 15.
So it's like these spots are hard to come by, and if you do not show improvement, and he's been out for a while with a knee injury. I don't think he's been ready for some time. They just finally figured out a way to get him back on TV. It's just something where he just does, again, he's had time to improve other skills, and maybe he wasn't improving. You don't know why these guys are released, but that seems to be the reason why. They just weren't improving at the rate WWE had hoped.
Yeah, and it's something of they want to see everybody improve. They want to see everybody succeed. That goes without question, but you're also there to do a job, and you are there to improve, and if you're not doing your job the way that you're supposed to, they're not going to hold on to you. And it's like, in some people's cases, they've held on to them for years. I mean, there are guys that came down from, I believe, OVW that are still in developmental.
For now.
For now. I mean, we don't know, but it's something of, like I said, you've had people in there for years, and there's nothing you can do. You know, if you've had these people and you're paying them to do a job and they're not really doing it, and there comes a point where you have to say, I'm sorry, your time's up.
That's pretty much the case, and that was pretty much the case with a couple of them. And, you know, other people have been hired back again. You just got to prove, like, for some of them, they got to prove that they really, really want it, and this is the chance. If you really, really want it, find a way back.
Right. Absolutely. So, we'll have to see where these four go, and if they will come back. Also announced tonight, was the next NXT special.
NXT TakeOver, it's on May 29th?
Yeah, May 29th. It's a live two-hour special. So excited!
It will feature a world title match, and it will feature the finals of the NXT Women's Championship Tournament on that show.
When is Bo Dallas' last match? It's before that, isn't it?
The week before.
The week before? Okay. So that means he might be debuting at the end of May.
Yeah, if you do the math, that would seem like the possible, either right after that airs or, you know, right before it. Either way, Bo Dallas, we'll get into Bo later. But
we'll get into Bo later, but yeah, I was just curious. So May 29th, if you don't have your WWE Network, get your WWE Network. Because, yeah, this is going to be awesome. If you missed NXT Arrival, if you saw NXT Arrival, I should say, then this should be just as good.
Oh, yeah, and they're going to have a live half-hour pre-show like they did before. I guess technically it wasn't live, but it was aired live right before it.
Right.
Should be a lot of fun.
Should be pretty fun. I can't wait. And also, we have a lot of NXT news this week, because, well, there's a lot of NXT news.
Yeah, to continue on the NXT special thing real quick, the next one's looking like it'll be in September. So circle September in your calendars for the one following TakeOver.
Can't wait. But lastly, we should also circle our calendars, because, well, NXT might be at the Slammies.
Yeah, they also might be at the Slammies as well. There are rumors that they may have a part this year in December Slammies. I know it's May 1st, and we're talking about the Slammies in December, but that's the report. So they're high on NXT.
As they should be. NXT's been improving leaps and bounds. It's been very impressive. Everybody that I've talked to is really taking to it, really enjoying it, and as they should, because it's... If you haven't ever seen it, it's completely different than the normal WWE product, and you see stars that you haven't seen before, and wrestlers that you haven't seen before, and matches you haven't seen before, and it's really very exciting and refreshing to see, because it's not the same old, you know, week in and week out. It's,
no.
It's different.
Right.
Which is nice.
It is. That is very nice to see.
So, like I said, if you don't have your WWE Network, get your WWE Network, because now, ladies and gentlemen, the WWE Network is available on Xbox One.
I see what you did there.
Talent.
Talent. She's learning. It's skills with a Z.
Yo.
Move on.
What, that's all we're going to say? Okay, fine. It's on the Xbox One. We're
no.
Not apparently going to discuss this.
No. When you said, yo, you made me laugh. I have nothing. I can't respond after that. You broke the producer for the first time during the show. Going to continue, but yeah, anyway.
16 minutes in, y'all. 16 minutes in. Broke the producer. Yo, me! Anyway, moving on, it also for network news, as it was, you know, scrolled across the screen on Monday Night Raw, Stream Rules is not being offered on Dish Direct TV or AT&T UVerse. It is only being offered on Comcast On Demand.
Comcast In Demand.
Whatever.
In Demand pay-per-view, so that's Time Warner. Anyone who offers, who has In Demand service through their cable provider, they will still be providing pay-per-view, but if you're with the AT&T UVerse or DirecTV or Dish Network, you're kind of out of luck, and that means you should get the WWE Network. One thing I should note about that, Dish Network people are telling, when you call up and, you know, why can't I get the pay-per-view? They tell you to get the network. So that's at least one positive.
That is one positive, so... But yeah, so... If you are on any of those cable providers, go ahead and pick up the WWE Network, because I know for at least Dish and Direct, it's on a pay-per-view by pay-per-view basis, so we're probably going to be talking about this a lot more, where they're carrying less pay-per-views than they were before. I would imagine that they're probably only going to carry the big shows, because that's where they kind of make their money, and then they're going to drop the rest.
Yeah, and DirecTV and Dish make up about one-third of the pay-per-view viewing audience in the United States.
Yeah.
So a third of the people who have the capabilities to get the pay-per-view are now out of luck.
Thanks.
But WWE's, you know, that's their plan. Their plan is to get out of the pay-per-view business at some point. They're basing all, they had their stockholders conference call, and we'll get to that in a second today. And basically that's the idea. Their numbers are their profit making abilities do not include the pay per views, especially when it comes to the network going forward. So anything that they make off of it is a bonus. They're not factoring it in anymore because, you know, everyone's pulling out.
Right, and that's a smart thing to do. Is at this point they know what their revenue streams are, and that's what they're counting on. So if they're counting the pay-per-views on actual physical pay-per-view as gravy, well, great.
Yeah, after WrestleMania, that's the idea. Their focus is getting everyone to buy the WWE Network, and that's where it should be.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it is a fantastic service that we watch all the time.
Yes, it's awesome. I keep watching WrestleMania. Not the thing! The thing before the thing.
The thing before the thing?
The thing before the thing, but not the thing.
Not like the act. Not the actual
Bray Wyatt's match happens, and that's where WrestleMania stops.
Exactly. Coming soon, you'll be able to bookmark things on the WWE Network, as well as... What was the other thing I told you? I can't remember off the top of my head.
They actually ran an update to set it up for international languages, so they are preparing to launch the network in certain international markets. When that happens, I don't know, but I know
that's
for British English, German, Canadian, I believe Mexican as well, as among others. So
yeah, they're hoping to be in the United Kingdom, Canada, and a couple other places by the end of 2014. Australia wasn't one of them, but that's...
Sorry, Mace.
That is, you know, still to come. The other one is a playlist and bookmark. You'll also be able to create your own playlist on the WWE Network as well. That was the other little item coming out, and smart TVs will be coming very soon, along with a possible Amazon rollout. I guess there's Amazon TV or something like that.
They have the Kindle Fire, and it was supposed to be available on Kindle Fire.
Okay, so both of those are coming very, very soon. According to the stockholders conference call today. So that's cool. You can bookmark probably certain events and matches and things you like to watch over and over and over again.
Yes, which will be awesome for me because I watch certain things over and over and over again, pretty much Bray Wyatt's entire playlist. But that's another thing for another day.
Yeah, that's what she does. but there's other news coming out with the network.
There is.
Coming to the WWE Network, the Monday Night War.
Ooh.
A second season of WWE Countdown is coming.
Yes.
And Tough Enough is coming back.
Oh, Tough Enough is coming back.
Yeah.
That's official now.
That's official. WWE Tough Enough is coming back. They announced it today on the conference call that WWE Tough Enough will be returning to the WWE Network. That's kind of awesome.
Is it the same host as it was the last time, or is it a different host?
No details have been announced. They're just saying Tough Enough is coming back. So hopefully Stone Cold Steve Austin is coming back with it. That'd be kind of awesome.
We'll have to see.
Because Austin really was one of the stars of that. He really did a hell of a job in the last season of Tough Enough.
He did. He really did. As did Trish and Booker. So I'd be very curious to see. And Bill DeMott. Can't forget Bill DeMott. But he might be a little busy with NXT, so we'll have to see.
And you know where they can train them?
I don't know. Maybe at the Performance Center?
There you go. Probably not, because there's a lot going on. But yeah, they could use the Performance Center for a little bit of it. That would be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool.
But yeah, to bring back Tough Enough, and you can, you know, use NXT involved with Tough Enough if you really want to. I'm kind of interested to see what they actually do with it, but yeah. The Tough Enough is returning at some point, probably late this year, early next year, probably.
Well, that'll be cool.
That should be kind of cool. So, again, get the network. Stuff is coming. And they're planning on doing a lot more original programming for the network, too.
Total Wyatt. Wait, what was that?
Wait, did you say something?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, is that all the WWE news we have?
That is all the WWE news we have at this point, yes.
All right, well, quick kind of transition. It was reported, sadly, that Bobby the Brain Heenan broke his shoulder over the weekend while he was attending a wedding in Las Vegas. He fell out of bed, so unfortunately Bobby and his wife did miss the wedding because they were in the ER getting that fixed, so speedy recovery to him. I hope he feels better. We're sending our best wishes and prayers to him and his family.
He's in good spirits. There's a lot that's been going on with him, and he's still in very good spirits. So that's always good to hear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what you want to hear. So, again, best of luck. Hope he feels better soon, because, yeah.
Yeah. I'm with Lindsay on that one. Hope he feels better.
Go, Bobby, go!
There you go. Hashtag it.
Hashtag it. Although I don't think he has a Twitter.
You never know.
Anyway, we're going to kind of transfer, you know, or transition, I should say, into, well, TNA and Global Force Wrestling. Because, well, we've got to talk about Global Force Wrestling. Because they made another announcement.
They will be a couple announcements, actually. We didn't cover this one because we weren't on. Herny Sadler is now part of the board of directors. He's the he worked with them in previous years, when Jeff was in TNA, with the whole NASCAR involvement, so he's one of the board of directors. But they have partnered up with AAA in Mexico, so that should be cool. So some AAA talent from Mexico will be a part of Global Force Wrestling when it debuts in 2015, probably.
So what happened to the TNA agreement with AAA? Did that go away when Jeff left?
The agreement sort of was with Jeff.
So how do they... Because isn't Tigre Uno from AAA?
I'm not sure exactly. But apparently the agreement's up, and GFW... I guess GFW has the agreement now.
Okay, well, you know, no problem with it here. You know, Hermie Sadler, he's a great addition. He's definitely a huge fan of the product and of wrestling, so I think he will be a great addition to the board of directors. And, of course, the agreement with AAA, that helps to bring in talent that we've never seen before, which is, hey, I'm all for that. So, well, Global Force Wrestling, they're getting their name out there. They're trying to make themselves known.
Apparently, Tigre Uno left AAA in 2012, Quinn Kinkins in the chat room.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Completely fair enough. I didn't know, so it's a good question to ask.
It is a good question, because we're not, you know, we're not, like, the big AAA people. We don't cover it, so, you know.
Yeah. So it's like, I wonder how that all worked out. But okay, now it makes sense.
That sort of makes sense. But yeah, they have an agreement with, Global Force Wrestling is with AAA. Ah, here's what happened. A little bit of research.
Ah.
TNA is now working with CMLL.
Okay. All right.
So that's the other Mexican promotion. So there you go.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Doing live research. It's awesome.
Stalling on the air. It's fantastic. And, well, transitioning over to TNA from Global Force Wrestling, Eric Young. He's, you know, got a new agreement, too. Seems that Off the Hook Extreme Catches is evolving into a new show called No Limits, which debuts on May 30th.
At 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Follow Eric Young as he showcases adrenaline-fueled adventures that take him to the edge of his comfort zone. This season, Young travels to New York, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, Puerto Rico, Maine, and many other locations to experience hidden thrills and discover the wild subcultures and lifestyles of those driven to live the extremes that the outdoors has to offer. Whether he's searching for invasive pythons in South Florida, river birding through the Class 4 rapids in the Ocoee River in Tennessee, how you say it? O-C-O-E-E.
Or Ocoee.
Ocoee River. Or climbing an Alaskan iceberg from a paddle boat, Young and his iconic manly beard won't stop until he puts his signature move on the competition. He will be going to Death Valley, Tennessee's Smoky Mountains, Mexico. He's doing a little bit of fishing. He's going to the Great White North and many other locations. That should be, no pun intended, off the hook.
I kind of can't wait to see this. This is going to be cool, because we saw Eric have a lot of really awesome adventures in Off the Hook Extreme Catches, but it was all fishing. And no offense to fishing, but I'm just really not that kind of into it, and once you see him catch fish, he's caught a fish. Although the rubber ducky was awesome.
The rubber ducky was kind of awesome. So yeah, looking forward to it. It's on Friday nights, so you set your DVRs to watch it.
Yeah, and that'll be better than Sundays. That'll be a lot better than Sundays.
It goes up against the SmackDown thing, but that's why there's a DVR.
I don't think Animal Planet's on the 3-hour delay, so I think I might be able to watch it live.
It's on both times, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, but for me, it matters.
I know. The inhospitable terrain surrounding Death Valley boosts record high temperatures and is covered in thousands of abandoned mines. Eric joins a group of thrill seekers to take a dark and dangerous trip 600 feet underground in a mine that is more than a century old, Kinkins. So that answers your Death Valley question.
Yes, he's going hunting for a wild taker.
There you go. So yeah, I'm looking forward to Eric Young's new show on Animal Planet, because it's kind of awesome. So,
and well, we might have some get a little extreme and things might get off the hook at the end of the month. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
You know, you never know.
You never know. You know how we roll.
Exactly.
But anyway, that's all the news I have. Do you have any more news?
Oh, I'm good. Oh, no, wait, I have one other piece of news. And this is independent wrestling news. WSU Wrestling stripped Jessica Havoc of the World Championship today. And they have barred her from ever competing again in WSU Wrestling.
What did she do?
I have no idea. They did not say what happened. All they know is they stripped her of the belt and have barred her from ever competing again.
And this is legit? This isn't storyline?
This is legit. This is what they're out there. It may be storyline, but this is what they put out there a couple hours ago.
Oh, wow. Well, sorry to hear that.
Oh, so haven't heard what J-Hav's response was, but I haven't. When it is, it's probably going to be explosive.
Oh, I have a little doubt of that.
But yeah, that's all the news I got now.
Alright, so on that note, we're going to throw it to our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about tonight's exciting Impact and, of course, Sacrifice. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Was time. The blood on our hands is the wine. We offer a sacrifice.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To a shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap on Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to The Wrap right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. That's right, MBG1211 at YouTube.com for all your wrestling figure needs and videos, because, well, he not only reviews, but he does stop-motion animation as well, which is pretty dang cool.
Yes, yes it is. He just reviewed a Caitlyn figure as well from the Best of WWE series from 2013.
Yes. And now we're going to jump right into tonight's exciting Impact, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
We're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to talk a little TNA Impact. We're going to talk a little bit of the pay-per-view as well, because that was a that was an interesting pay-per-view, to say the least, on Sunday night.
Yes. Yes, it was. That was, yeah. Yeah, we're going to get into that.
You want to start there?
We're going to kind of hit our highs and our lows, because we just don't want to sit here and read results about Sacrifice and also Impact.
Yeah, we're gonna tell you what we thought of the highs and lows. We'll tell you who won and lost everything, but we're going to tell you our highs and lows first. What was your high point for Sacrifice?
I honestly thought the Knockouts match was really, really, really good. They did a wonderful job.
I agree. That was a really, really good match. Velvet Sky had a little bit to do with the outcome of that one. Spraying a little bit of something in the face of Matt and Rain.
Yeah.
The beautiful people are up to their old tricks. Just point that one out.
Oh, yes. Oh, in more ways than one.
The beautiful people are fully back in full force. And now Angelina Love has the Knockouts Championship, as she won it at Sacrifice, which I can basically say we both got right.
But yeah, another high point was, of course, the world title match. That was really well done. Bravo to Eric and to Magnus both.
I was surprised it was a clean finish. There was no abyss in that match.
Yeah. Well, you really have to have EY go over clean to make him look strong. You can't have him, especially since he's the babyface, you can't have him win by shenanigans.
No, but I wasn't thinking he would win by shenanigans. I figured, you know, Abyss would have cost Magnus, but as we clearly see, they're not on the same page after watching Impact tonight. They're still not right back on the same page. So, you know, we'll get into that in a second. But yeah, they're not on the same page whatsoever. So I was kind of surprised to see no interference, but again, it's a good surprise. It's in a good way. There was no interference.
And, of course, I have to give a shout-out to James Storm and Gunner, who just beat the ever-living crap out of each other.
Yeah, that was my high point. I liked the match. The crowd, not so much, but I really liked the match. The crowd was really flat for a lot of the show. They really got into the tables match, which we'll get into. We'll get into what that was in a second. But I liked James Storm. I liked Gunner in the match. They went hardcore in an I Quit match, and the match ended with Gunner putting a shard of glass near the eye or in the eye of Storm, and him saying I quit right away.
Right.
But they were bloody. They beat the crap out of one another. It was a really physical match. They went out there and they gave it their all, and I was impressed. Good match. I don't want to see it again, but it was a good match.
Yeah, I'm kind of... We've now seen Storm and Gunner do an I Quit match. We've seen them do variations on an I Quit match as far as them just literally going out there beating the crap out of each other. And don't get me wrong, it's a great match every time. Because they just go out there and they give it everything they have, and they just really beat each other up. But it's like, all right, I've seen it 3 times in a row now. Can we kind of back off of it just a smidge?
Just a smidgen?
Yeah, and I'd also, you know, maybe like to see Storm win something.
Yeah, we both got that one wrong, as we both went with James Storm, thinking he would finally get a win, but he did not get the win.
Oh, James.
We did get Eric Young right, since we went through that match. We did get that one pick right.
Yeah.
We went with our hearts, and our hearts prevailed on that one, just not with Storm.
So, just curious to know, what was your low point?
The committed match.
Yeah, I'm there with you.
They had one high point in the committed match where they went to JB in the MAC, and Anderson wanted him to interview Shaw. That was funny. But beyond that, the match was terrible. Shaw's not really good in the ring. He needs a lot of work. Anderson was just Anderson. They don't click. These two guys don't click with one another, especially in the stipulation that they had. It just didn't work for me. I was disappointed. And again, it would have been different if you had a, we haven't even seen them wrestle in a traditional match. So it's like every time they fought, there's been some sort of wacky stipulation wacky stipulation about a cage match, or in this case, the committed match. So yeah.
I think they had a straight match, straight jacket match, didn't they?
Yeah, they also had that as well on Impact, so it's like, Anderson won, by the way. Committed. Shaw's been committed. Lindsay got that one wrong. But what can you do?
You know, honestly, I like the Samuel Shaw character. I thought it was intriguing. I thought it was different. It didn't have a shelf life, but it was a good idea on paper. It really kind of was. You know, how they executed it. Because I think they actually found the right guy to play Samuel Shaw.
Right. He played it well. It just never took off the way it should have.
No. And it's just, it's something of it. I think, honestly, it was the way that they ended up booking it. Where they really, because it started to take off, and then they jumped on it. And then it just went too much, too fast.
And then last week it jumped the shark with his mother being named Christy.
Yeah, when you start hinting at incest, that's... Yeah.
That's where it jumped the shark.
Yeah, that's like, No.
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 No. No. What was your low point?
My low point was, again, it was the committed match. I mean, you didn't know what to expect from it. And that's the thing. So you're kind of sitting there going, okay, and it's like an ambulance match but like a last ride match or something like that, where basically you have to get your opponent into a vehicle and then the vehicle drives away. I know logistically they could not get the van into the arena because the impact zone is just simply not set up to do that. But one of my biggest faults was them having to go through the backstage, even though we got the moment of JB interviewing them, which was honestly the best point in the match. I don't like that they had to fight through the backstage, because I don't like when matches finish out away from the crowd.
It loses something.
Because there's that moment where you have to question, well, is this where they went pre-taped? You know, what's the deal? Or did they actually fight all the way back there? Because sometimes when they do stuff in the back, they tape it before. So, you know, basically after that, they stop fighting. I'm not saying that this was pre-taped, but it's just, like Rock said, it loses something when they go away from the crowd, and then the crowd's just kind of sitting there watching it on TV with everybody else. It's something of, if you're going to a show, and particularly this kind of match, it should really happen in front of the crowd, and you back the vehicle in, and then that way the whole thing happens in front of the crowd.
Right. You lose that, I guess the interaction. You get a dead crowd, you have silence, it doesn't work. Most of the time. There are some exceptions to the rule, but in most cases it doesn't fully work. Now we should talk about the tables match. Bobby Roode and Bully Ray had a fantastic tables match.
Oh, I agree. 100%.
Until we got towards the end. If you have not seen it, it has been spread around the world on the internet, because that's what happens. This is the end, the finish of the match. It involved a ref bump. The idea behind the bump was that the referee was bullied, picked up Bobby Roode for a powerbomb. He was supposed to get hit either by the head or by the foot. Well, the referee, not paying attention, realized, oh crap, I'm supposed to be part of the spot. So he gets really close at the very end, and then does a shimmy backwards and falls on his ass and takes a bump.
To his credit, he sold it like a champ.
He sold getting hit by air like a champ.
But yeah, that was a really, really bad spot, especially since the way they shot it head on, so you blatantly saw the miss.
And the problem, because you were supposed to see the bump, and it just never happened the right way. And then Taz was wondering, what happened? What happened? And he asked for a replay, and they show a replay, but you didn't see the bump. Oh, okay, was his response. I guess we don't have the replay of the bump, because he...
For obvious reasons, because they went, oh crap, he missed.
Yeah, but the referee sold it like he got hit by a brick and was down for a while. So Bobby Roode got put through a table by Bully. So Bully should have won, but the referee took his bump and could not see it. So Bully set up tables on the outside, was ready to put Bobby Roode through tables on the outside. Bully goes to the top rope, and a mysterious cameraman pushes Bully Ray off the top rope. Bobby Roode wins, the bell rings. I guess the referee saw that one. So Bobby Roode wins the tables match. But the cameraman was not a normal cameraman.
Nope.
It was Dixie Carter in a wig and a beard.
Which, okay, to TNA's credit, that was very clever. It was unexpected, it was clever. They made her look like ugly as sin, but it was very clever.
It was very clever, yes.
But yeah, Bobby and Bubba had a great match. Not discounting anything they did in the match, but it was something of, there were just a couple things, like the ref bump, of which of course, you know, Bobby Roode doesn't lose, and then it's like Bully goes through the tables, and then the bell starts to ring, so it's like, well, the ref's still out. Who rang the bell? Was it Dixie?
I guess.
Did the ref see it? I mean, that's because I had to rewatch it today, and I was asking Rock, you know, who rang the bell?
I didn't see.
Because if it was the timekeeper who just rang the bell, well, then he should have, you know, rang the bell when Bobby went through the table.
Unless referee Stifler, who crawled around and saw it and rang the bell. But the idea was that you had to put your opponent through the table. And Bobby technically didn't put Bully through the table. Dixie did.
I guess it's whoever goes through the table. I don't know.
They made it clear at the beginning, though. Borash said how you win is by putting your opponent through a table or something like that. I don't know. But either way, it was, yeah. The finish was very, very special. Clever getting Dixie involved. I was hoping for Tessmacher. That's who I thought it was originally. But then it's like, oh, it's Dixie. Okay. Okay. And then, as we saw on Impact tonight, Bully wants to put Dixie through a table, and they got into a heated exchange at one point, and they both got barred from the building.
Which is interesting.
It is interesting. It's like, the director of operations, or wrestling operations, MVP, barred both of them from the building. So it's like, interesting. So that's one of the newsworthy high points from Impact Tonight, that Bully and Dixie have been put through, been barred from the building. And Bully was about to put her through the table until MVP came out.
Yeah, but we'll get into that. So any other news or notes on Sacrifice you want to mention?
The finish to the Sonata Tag Great Uno match, I like the cradle DDT thing Sonata did. It was innovative. Sonata kept the X Division Championship. The Wolves won the tag team titles as well. So
yes, congratulations to them.
And all right, we gotta give them some props. EC3 and Spud, they were entertaining.
They seriously are some of the best performers that TNA have right now.
They really are. I like EC3 and Spud, and oh, we'll get to that second from tonight. But yeah, good. They came out on the short end stick. It was basically a squash match between Willow and Angle. Willow and Angle picked up the W over EC3 and Rockstar Spud. So overall, the pay-per-view was alright. It wasn't like the greatest showing in the world, but the matches, for the most part, were decent to okay. So yeah, overall, I would grade the pay-per-view a C.
You know, honestly, I would give it probably like a C-. It just, the matches that were good were good. The matches that were bad were bad. And it's just, it felt, honestly, just kind of like an extended episode of Impact. There, you know, aside from really Dixie coming out as the bearded man, there weren't too many surprises, there weren't too many upsets. You know, it was very, as some people like to say, predictable. And so, to me, it's like, you just, I want to see TNA do better than what they're doing right now. Because I know that they've booked better than this in the past, and it's just, it's something of, eh?
And in the battle of bragging rights, I went 6-2, you went 4-4.
Okay.
Just figured I'd point that one out.
Good for you?
Damn right good for me. Damn right. I'll take my win anywhere I can get it.
Yeah. I'll take my win anywhere I can get it.
You usually do.
Yeah. So anyway, let's jump into Impact now. Backstage, and we kind of saw these all night. TNA World Champion Eric Young was shown walking into MVP's office, which was downstairs for some reason. And MVP congratulated him on remaining TNA champ after his sacrifice on Sunday, and that he respects him for defending the title. Young said that he wants to defend the title tonight. Then MVP, you know, pulls out a stack of cards and leaves. We then come back and Mr. Anderson walks in, followed by Gunner and, well, a complaining Bobby Roode, because it's not TNA without Bobby Roode complaining. Love you, Bobby.
He was basically giving us a unique way to determine a number one contender and pulling cards. Like pulling straws, you know. The two low cards would fight and then that person would fight the other guy, and yeah.
Yeah, so it's actually a very fair way to do it. So, bravo. MVP basically, you know, has them all draw, and Anderson draws a 4, Gunner draws a 4. So they get to fight first. And Roode draws an ace. So we get Anderson and Gunner up first, and then the winner of that match will be facing Bobby Roode later in the night, with the winner of that match facing Eric Young. Okay. I'm okay with this.
Eric Young is going to be a fighting champion. He's going to fight often and defend the belt. And defend the belt, I think, every week.
Good. Good for him. Can't wait. EY every week. Yes! Sorry. I love me EY. Sorry. Can't help it. Anyway, we see Magnus on his way out to the ring. He's, of course, dressed in a suit. And Magnus angrily notes that there are 4 men in the title picture and he is not one of them. He then demands MVP comes out and answer him, but instead, well, Abyss shows up. Abyss then, you know, chases Magnus off and the two kind of fight a little bit. The crowd is cheering. Everybody's, I guess, backing the guy that cost Samoa Joe the title. I suppose that's old news.
I guess he has his job back?
I don't know. Anyway, the people are cheering for Abyss, and Magnus eventually runs away as Abyss pulls out Janus.
It left me confused.
Yeah, it's because didn't Abyss get fired?
Abyss got fired, but last week had a chance to get his job back, and the match ended in disqualification with Abyss winning by DQ, but I guess that means he got his job back. They didn't really explain that. I think the announcers were confused too.
I think everybody was a little confused. We see advertisements for the beautiful people celebrating Angelina's love victory over Madison Rayne, and then we get James Storm taking on Willow.
we'll
get to that.
We'll get to that. Bully came out with a table with the word Dixie on it and basically said he's going to put Dixie through a table. Simple. That's what he wants to do.
And then, well, conveniently, Dixie Carter shows up.
Yeah, Dixie showed up, and, you know, Spud was there talking to her, and, you know, Dixie told Spud that Bully is all bark and no bike. She said if anyone should be worried around here, it's Bully. Dixie was, you know, it's very confident, and Spud's going, it's got your name on it.
Yeah.
Spud is worried for Madam Dixie.
He is. But he would give his life for her, so.
He really, really would.
He would. He's awesome. And then we get our first match of the evening. Mr. Anderson taking on Gunner with the winner advancing to face Bobby Roode. This was a pretty good match.
Yeah, the match was fine. Very, very short. About 4 minutes long. This is with TNA. Their matches are very, very 4 to 6 minutes on television. So it is what you can get for a 6-minute, 4-minute match. Gunner moved on, pinning Mr. Anderson.
After Storm interfered.
Yeah.
We go back to the locker room and we see Magnus packing his bag. He's muttering to himself. He has a mad. He's preparing to leave when a random bearded man who looks like Gunner, the most apt description I've ever heard, because for a second I thought it was Gunner, walks in. Magnus greets him like an old friend, but the man wasn't so friendly back, and he said they need to talk.
This dude called Magnus a sorry excuse for the man he used to know. Apparently they were friends at one point. He called Magnus an embarrassment to himself, his family, and their country. He asked Magnus to remember the good old days, the booze, the women, the fights. Magnus is soft now. And then he shoved Magnus into a locker. And he's here to, you know, help Magnus. He's here for Magnus' own good. I did not catch the dude's name, though.
Yeah, I know he's a former NXT superstar. He was an original member of the Ascension. Until he apparently beat somebody up and got fired.
That would do it.
But unfortunately, I didn't catch his name. But I have read online that he was a former NXT superstar. So, looking forward, should be interesting to see where they go with it, mm-hmm. at least. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere, we have Ethan Carter III in the ring. He says that in 7 days, he's going to go one-on-one with Kurt Angle. This, by the way, was segment of the night. Carter said this match was supposed to happen at Lockdown, but he injured Angle, and now Angle is back to have the match. And he's glad, because now he can validate himself as a new American wrestling icon. But, you know, until we get to the match in 7 days, he has a treat for everybody.
According to Kinkins, Bram was the person's name.
Okay.
And that's his TNA name. Kenneth Cameron.
Kenneth Cameron.
There you go.
Thank you. We have a special treat for tonight, because we don't have to wait for 7 days. EC3 then calls out his sparring partner, in quotations, Rockstar Spud. And Spud comes dressed like Kurt Angle, complete with singlet, headgear, and Spud written across his singlet. Spud then prances around the ring before they lock up. Carter did some gator rolls, and Spud moved around the ring some more. You know, then Carter kind of had to calm Spud down a little bit and told him to assume the position. To which my recap has too much position from Spud, which would be an accurate assessment of that. And then EC3 grapples him from behind.
Continue.
Thankfully, Kurt Angle's music interrupts this segment before it gets too non-PG. And he walks out on the stage. He tells EC3 to stop humping Spud and focus on him. Yes, this really happened.
I put a picture up on the player right now of one's the artist rendering from someone Rockstar Spud retweeted this picture. There's of him assuming the position with Ethan Carter, and then there's an artist rendering the position. I love that Spud wore the red bow tie. It fit his blue singlet perfectly.
Anyway, Angle told Carter that he's out for blood, and next week his streak will end. He also guaranteed to hurt Carter, twist his ankle into two, and he won't stop. Angle told Carter that the pain will begin in 7 days.
Yes, yes, they are sporting the shocked face. Yes, it looks like someone got in. Yeah, anyway. I'm not going to go there. I like Rockstar Spud and Ethan Carter third. I won't make the gay joke.
Why make it when the picture speaks for itself?
Exactly. Spud, it was entertaining. He really got down deep in the position, too.
Yeah, okay, enough.
He did, right. Though. He did. All right.
Moving on.
He did. He did, though.
Yes, I'm sure he did. Backstage, the beautiful people are talking to themselves about having a celebration tonight. I believe this is where Angelina Love got a letter from the quote-unquote board of directors. And no, this was actually later, so never mind. But she does get a letter from the board of directors, which we'll get into.
Yes.
And then we get a promo for the Menagerie, which apparently is debuting next Thursday.
Hold on. Can we have come up with any harder of a name to say? Menagerie.
Isn't a hard word to say.
It's very wordy.
It's one word! How is it wordy?
It's wordy. Menagerie. It's too many syllables.
What do you want, freaks?
Yes. If you're going to have freaks, you don't have to make them, sound, sophisticated.
But that's what they are!
They're not sophisticated, though.
Oh, God, you're such an uncultured swine.
Mouth shut. Keep going.
Anyway, it's going to feature Knox, his girlfriend Rebel, and they're apparently going to have some guy named Crazy Steve and the Freak with them.
A couple guys on stilts, too.
Yeah. I've seen pictures. This is going to be special, y'all. Just wait for it.
There's a picture up on TNAsylum.com if you want to go check it out.
Yeah, it's special. And the ring, Gunner comes back out where he's going to be facing Bobby Roode, and then we get Bobby Roode versus Gunner, the number one contender for the TNA title. Again, another good match.
Yeah, the match was fine. Yeah, Bobby Roode picked up the victory. No surprise.
So we have Bobby Roode moving on in the finals to face Eric Young, so pretty poetic that we have two members of Team Canada facing off against each other.
Yep. I got nothing to add.
You got nothing to add?
I got nothing.
Anyway, we see Dixie Carter backstage. She's walking and talking. She tells three security guards to get Billy's table, set it up in the ring, and do not leave her side. So, it's about to go down. Elsewhere backstage, we see Angelina Love, and as I mentioned, she got a letter from the board of directors. She reads it out loud to Velvet Sky, noting that, they basically call her crass and, disapprove of her revealing wardrobe. They expect, that as champion, that Angelina Love will start dressing like a lady. Otherwise, there will be severe repercussions.
Dum dum dum.
So basically, Angelina and Velvet's solution to this is to put on evening gowns.
They're going to be classy, y'all. Classy, beautiful people.
Which weren't much more covering than what they had on, but okay. Actually, what they had on was way more covering than the gowns. Sorry, it's true. Anyway... we're back in the Impact Zone, and Dixie Carter is out in the ring. She has security guards galore, and she then proceeds to sit on the table with her name on it, and she asks if we know who she is. which she, you know, then goes, well, why did she do it? Because nobody double-crosses her. Dixie then says that Bully will have to remember forever that he was put through a table by a lady. She then mocks him for the broken ribs, or the cracked ribs, whatever you want to call it, and basically reemphasizes the fact that she put him through a table about 6 different times.
So she likes talking about the thing over and over again.
Yeah, she's taking notes from Paul Heyman. Anyway, Dixie then says that Bully should fear her because, well, she's certainly not afraid of Bully.
Bully then came down to the ring. He was ready to fight. He had a weapon in his hand. Security was there. And then basically said they have a count of five to get. She has a count of five to get out of the ring, or he will take them all out. And, well, he stormed the ring, got rid of the security, and then was ready to put Dixie Carter through the table. When she tried to, you know, she tried to stop him, but he stopped her. Had her in position for the powerbomb. MVP came out, as I mentioned before. Says, you know, as much as it pains him to say this, leave Dixie alone. See, this is his ring, not Dixie's. MVP said she better leave the ring until he changes his mind, and said everything happens in this ring is his responsibility, and there's no time for shenanigans. So until further notice, as I mentioned, both have been barred from the Impact Zone.
Interesting development. Very interesting development. So MVP is laying down the law. Backstage, we see Eric Young, and he's talking about the history repeating itself where he's going to face Bobby Roode tonight in a Team Canada battle. Young says that he knows Roode as well as Roode knows him, and so, well, they're going to find out who the better man is tonight. All right. Hit the horn.
No, you forgot a match. Didn't you?
I didn't. No.
No, you didn't?
We're coming up on it. Hit the horn.
Oh, we're hitting the horn now?
He's here. They had a match. He gets the horn. That's the rule. He gets it once.
No, but you missed James Storm versus Willow.
Do I have to talk about it?
You could say who won.
Willow won by DQ. Moving on.
Willow won by DQ. Storm then had threatened to hit him with a smashed beer bottle until Mr. Anderson showed up. And, well, Mr. Anderson brawled with Storm, and Mr. Anderson took him out with a mic check. So there you go.
Why are they booking Storm like this? Why? What happened to my cowboy? I want him back.
He turned heel, got long pants, new music.
I don't mind him being heel. He's always been a better heel than he's been a face, but the last time they turned him heel, he was really dominant, and this time it's just like, meh.
Yep.
I don't like it. Somebody fix it. Also, I'm sorry. This is the unpopular opinion. I have to put this out there. I really don't like Willow. I, in fact, really kind of hate Willow. You know, I can applaud Jeff Hardy for wanting to do something different, and they tried something, and they, you know, it's... If Willow had been defined as a separate character and never associated with Jeff Hardy, that's one thing. Still wouldn't like the character, but at least then it's separate of Jeff Hardy. And they're trying something different with him. To sort of give the Jeff Hardy character a break. But it's been associated with Jeff Hardy pretty much from day one. We all know it's Jeff Hardy running around in a mask acting like a psychopath. Nobody's fool, because they say it's Jeff Hardy on TV.
Yep.
That's the thing, is like, nobody's really fooled. So it's like, why? What is the point of this? It's like, it's one thing if it were completely separate from your normal character, but it's basically you killing people, or trying to.
It's another personality.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. You tried something. To me, it's not working. I really don't like Willow. I kind of wish you would pull a Poochie. And, you know, go away on his way back to his home planet.
Okay. King Kin says that, you know, we played the horn out of order, that we should play the horn again.
No, you get the horn once. You know, he made me talk about this match. I was ready to skip over it and just give you your horn so we could move on, but no, he made me talk about it.
Well, stuff happened. And you also forgot, you know, Bully and MVP were backstage, and, well, Bully was upset that he was, you know, barred, and, well, MVP said, you know, anything that happens outside the building, you know, down off his hands.
So did MVP just kind of put a hit out on Dixie?
Yep.
Uh-oh. Things are getting serious, y'all.
Bullies, yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit.
But anyway, backstage with MVP, we see the bromance blaming MVP for them dropping the tag team titles to the Wolves. They then blame MVP for making it 3-on-2, even though it was in their favor. And MVP says he's had enough of their complaints, and he sends them to the ring where they're going to have a special match. And actually, this is where Bully came and talked to him.
Yes.
Just pointing that out. Where Bully does the thing, and MVP puts the hit out on Dixie. We then have Eric Young talking about Bobby Roode backstage, as I said. And then we go to the ring where we have the Wolves, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards, your newly crowned TNA Tag Team Champions, taking on the bromance, Robbie E and Jesse, with Zema Ion. And, well, the Wolves have a special partner, right? They get the X Division Champion, Sonata.
I feel bad for Kane Kittens, so I'm going to, you know, play the
No.
But...
No.
But?
No. My show, my rules.
But? No.
I gave you cookies!
Off the button. No.
I gave you cookies!
So Dallas doesn't even fit here.
He's got the horn.
He's like Bray Wyatt.
In his hand, he's got the horn. In his hand.
Just get your finger off the button, okay?
I'm good now.
You're good now? You know what? You can play the air horn for him as much as y'all want to in private.
No. He has it bookmarked on YouTube.
Well, then, you know what? Go play with the YouTube bookmarks.
Anyway, continue.
Anyway, the Wolves and Sonata win. It was a pretty good match.
Yeah, match was fine. Nothing special.
Yeah, nothing to really write home about. You know, standard, stock standard. So.
Quick match. Yeah, again, like I said, quick match.
Very quick match, yes, because up next we have the beautiful people coming out in their evening gowns. Angelina basically recaps receiving the letter from the board of directors and that they are to follow a more appropriate dress code or else. Angelina then vows to defy the order and they tease removing their evening gowns, to which I was like, really? Really?
Boom,
you're going to turn your champion into a stripper? Really?
Boom, chicka, wow, wow.
Except, well, they stop, and they call everybody disgusting and pathetic.
Aww.
And Velvet Sky says that they wrote the letter themselves to set up the audience, that basically they wanted to give the audience something they will never have.
Boo.
Gail Kim then interrupts. She comes out, and she says that, you know, she's here to take stand for the Knockouts division that she helped to build. Gail vows to strip them of everything herself. Gail then attacks both women. They bail. She tries to get the evening gowns off, but sadly didn't happen. But on the way out, Madison Rayne and Brittany sneak up behind the beautiful people and, well, finish the job. Both girls are stripped. And meanwhile, Gail Kim holds on to the Knockouts title inside the ring.
Gail and Angelina, that should be fun.
That'll be a good match. We get hyped for next week with Angle and EC3 plus the Wolves taking on the bromance for the tag team titles and, well, the menagerie. They then do the tale of the tape for EY and Bobby Roode, and then both men are introduced, and you have your final contest of the evening, Bobby Roode taking on Eric Young for the TNA World title in a really good match.
Good match. Clean finish.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting over Eric Young strong with clean finishes. I like that.
Yeah. They're trying to make him the most legitimate champion they can, which not to say that he isn't a legitimate champion, but they're really trying to book EY strong and make him look credible, basically, which, again, in our eyes he is, but to some people he's not. So it's, they have to make it seem that he is, in fact, deserving of the title that he's won.
After the match, Eric Young gave the extended hand for Bobby Roode, but Roode was like, huh? What? Roode offered his hand, and Young pulled him up to his feet. Roode was, you know, in the corner, confused a little bit, and Eric Young stood tall as the TNA heavyweight champion in a really good match to close out the show. Match of the night.
Oh, easily match of the night.
Then, as the show ended, Bully Ray was with the cameraman, and he's been banned from the Impact Zone, so what's he gonna do? He's going to Nashville.
Pack your bags, y'all. We're going to Tennessee.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Music City, here we come. So that was tonight's exciting Impact, and of course our sacrifice recap. So I say we take a break.
Good idea.
So when we come back, we're going to be talking about tonight's exciting NXT. Yes, more results. Yay! Sorry, we have a lot to talk about.
We got a lot to talk about. I told you at the top. We got a lot to get into and a whole bunch of other things.
Yes, so you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
To breathe an eye is part of your design. If there's no change in your mind.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. WrestleTalk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
What's up, bitches? This is the Boston Badass, a.k.a. the Big Time Player, a.k.a. the Resident Masshole, or just simply, Ace. I'm here to tell you about a way for you to find out about all the unusual things we have done over the years, and trust me, we have done a lot of unusual things over the past few years. Everything from bitches to crossing highways to strange ramblings by subway that no one ever really understands. Sex toys, which of course includes the blue dildo, and even the time, well, times I got pissed face drunk on this. Really, Rock? We're gonna really talk about that? Fuck you. You can relive all the excitement of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, by visiting our official website at cbradio.ewazone.com. That's once again, cbradio.ewazone.com. Don't be a bitch ass. Visit the site and listen every Saturday night. About midnight, sometimes it starts about 12:30-ish, you know, Eastern time. Just to find out what possibly we can come up with next.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's been.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered.
you can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
By our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. That's right, youtube.com/mbg1211. Check out his videos because they are amazing and awesome. And I love that music for NXT. It was a great intro. The guitar riff at the opening is just fabulous.
It is. King Kiz is not a fan, apparently.
Of?
The song.
Oh, the rest of the song kind of sucks, but like the opening is really nice.
It works for them. It fits well in the video packages they do for the show. It works.
Yeah, it's a really nice song.
It's catchy. It's very catchy for them.
Yes. And so now, well, we're going to jump right into the NXT results.
Yes, brought to you by GoNHLGo.com, because every segment needs a sponsor.
I guess so.
And the show started off with Triple H coming out and announcing that, you know, we've seen all these guys start from NXT, the Wyatts, Shield, Big E, Cesaro, all sort of, you know, make their names in NXT, and they're taking over in WWE. And, well, that's sort of what's happening. There's an NXT takeover, especially, you know, there's this girl named Paige, if you haven't heard of her. She just became Divas champion, and well, because of all this takeover stuff, the new NXT special will happen, and it's called NXT Takeover, and that's how we started off the show. Then our opening contest.
We should note, poor Hunter, he's having vocal problems this week.
This was the week where, if you remember the week prior on Raw, he had no voice. And then how to do NXT. So. Oh, it was like poor Hunter. Our opening contest of the evening, Tyson Kidd, who is making he's on the rise in NXT, taking on Bo Dallas.
I wasn't ready for Bo.
No, we should mention Bo has new music. A new Titantron that comes out. Believe. which is good. And in his matches, he's added something that he does where he now gives you thumbs up. Because you gotta believe. And all the cheesiness. Back and forth, the start. Tyson Kidd mocked Bo a little bit during the match. And then there was one point as Bo was in control of the matchup. The fans... Oh, the fans. They decided that, well, we're going to sway a little bit. We're going to sway around and start...
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Yeah, it seems the Bo-leavers are maybe jumping on the Wyatt bandwagon just a little bit, which is kind of funny.
There were some buzzards flying around the Bo movement tonight.
Well, Triple H did mention the Wyatts, so...
Yeah, it's his fault. But they
it's totally his fault.
They were swaying and they had some fun. There was all, at one point it looked like they were doing the chant of Bolive to the sound, you know, the tune of the ole, 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 ole.
Yeah, they were having fun. They were entertaining themselves. Bo looked like he was ready to smack somebody. he was not happy.
He was not happy. This was a really good match. They gave them actually some good time for this matchup. There was a nice bulldog, the Spike Dudley Bulldog, that's the best way to put it, out of the corner, which only led to a two count. But the finish was always Tyson Kidd hit the blockbuster from the top rope. Tyson Kidd picked up the victory, and Bo was not happy. He started throwing a temper tantrum. He was claiming at one point his shoulder was up, and the fans were saying, na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye.
I giggled like an idiot through this entire thing.
I'm pretty sure you did, because it was kind of awesome. So yeah.
Dude, he walks out. He doesn't even have to really do anything. He just walks out in all his creepy, cheesy glory, and I just start laughing. Like, and I'm not laughing necessarily at him. It's just, it's like the character is so incredibly cheesy to me. It's like, it's so stupid that it's entertaining to me.
Right.
And it's just, I sit here and I start laughing because he overplays it. You can tell that's not really him.
No, but it totally works.
But it totally works. He does a great job with it. But it's just, it's like you sit there and he's just overacting it and he's being uber cheesy and just, you know, everybody just needs to believe. Thumbs up, tooth sparkle. You know, it's just, it's like, it's, you can't not laugh at it. I'm sorry. I just can't. Every time he shows up on my TV, I start giggling like an idiot.
And there's, we're going to get a lot more of that. So he threw his temper tantrum. We go backstage. Camacho was doing an interview basically saying he's not a party pooper, but and he throws the best parties in the WWE universe. In walked Adam Rose and said, doesn't matter where he is, whether it's in NXT, NYC, Hawaii, or WWE, it's always party time, and a party always breaks out when he's around. And the Adam Rose party pulled right in, and they were partying around Camacho, who just walked away.
Hey, Camacho, do you have a bunny? I didn't think so.
No, he doesn't have a bunny, so it's kind of a fail there. You need a bunny for your party, so you know, you're not cool there. Then we had a promo with Bayley, which Bayley is adorable, and we'll get to her in a second.
Oh, she's so cute.
Mm-hmm. She's the line I took down in my notes from the promo. It winning the NXT Women's Championship is more important than 10 hugs from John Cena or 5 high fives from Big E. She's awesome. So she plans on winning the NXT Women's Title Tournament. Sasha Banks said it's time for the boss to take charge and. You know, she plans on winning as well. Nice little solid promos, hyping up the matches. I like how they did their promos.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
I was not a fan of how they did the other ones later, but we'll get into that in a second.
But yeah, nice promos by both girls. Sasha looked good. Bayley looked good. That's exactly what you want. And I like how they're making this tournament feel important.
I agree with you right there. The opening round starts with NXT Women's Championship Tournament, Sasha Banks versus Bayley, and they had a hell of a matchup, but we should start with Bayley's entrance.
She had floaty inflatable fun men!
She did. She has big floaty hand men dudes balloons. They're awesome. It just adds specialness to her intro, and it's like, oh, she has balloons! Awesome.
And she looked really genuinely surprised by them. Like, I don't think she was expecting them.
I don't think she was, but they caught her off guard with it. Like, oh, hey, like, oh my god, I got stuffs.
I have balloons!
So they had a nice back and forth to start the match. Sasha took control over early on Bayley. Bayley makes her fiery comeback, as she usually does. Bayley hit the belly to Bayley suplex. but Banks rolled away, almost out of the ring. Banks was able to make a little bit of a comeback, hit her finisher, the Bankrupt, for a two count. They battled back and forth a little bit. Bailey went for the belly to Bailey again, but was countered into an awesome backstabber by Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks, yeah.
Into a very nice clutch submission for the victory. Really good match.
Oh, this was a great match. This was fantastic. I want to see this again.
They had a night. The finish was really executed really, really well. They gave him a little bit of time. If they gave him more time, it would have been even better. But I love the finish. It was creative. They allowed the girls to counter each other's finish, which was awesome. It made the match feel important with the limited amount of time they got.
Agreed. And again, I like how they're making the tournament feel important, which is what you want.
Exactly. The Adam Rose Express pulled into the NXT arena as Adam Rose took on Danny Burch. The party was in full effect. Burch tried to get an early offense, not really happening for him, and Adam Rose basically dominated this match.
Yeah, he did.
Rose was able to hit the Bronco Buster and hit his finish for the victory. The party foul, as it's called. So Adam Rose looks strong with the victory. The party, the Exotic Express comes back, the party begins, and then Camacho attacks one of the guys from behind. And everyone's like, boo, hiss, what a party pooper. That darn Camacho becoming a party pooper.
Dude, come on, you don't attack people at the party, that's just not cool.
It's just not cool. We had we then had a promo from Brodus Clay hyping the match tonight, because he's challenging for the NXT Championship. Yes, the NXT title is on the line tonight. Brodus said he is the baddest man in the world.
Then he's also the orangest baddest man in the world.
Yes, he is. So, yeah. we then get to our next contest of the evening, making things important. The NXT Women's Title Tournament continues. Layla took on Natalya. They both did inset promos. For girls who've been on the roster, the younger girls did way better promos.
Layla's never been really that good of a talker. Even when she was doing Laycool, she always kind of depended on Michelle McCool to do the talking.
Right.
And then Natty's never really been a big talker either.
Natty basically said it would be a dream to win the NXT Women's Championship, and Layla says what she get. She will dance her way to the title, and she always gets what she wants. So, yeah.
Yeah, pretty stock standard promos from both girls. You know, I was expecting more from the match than the promos, honestly.
Right, and the match was solid. That's basically what you can say. Layla controlled most of the match. Natty made her comeback. Went for the sharpshooter once. Layla countered. And then Natty found a way to get the sharpshooter locked in the second time. And Layla submitted. So Natty moves on. So I believe that makes it Natty versus Sasha next week.
Yeah, Natty versus Sasha, and then we're going to get Emma versus, I think, Charlotte, and Alicia versus Alexis Bliss.
Those are the two matches next week. The Natty match is in 2 weeks, because we got to finish the first round first. Yeah, so those two, Natty versus Sasha, will be in the second round, is what I should say.
Which I'm curious to see how that mix goes.
It will be very interesting. We should, we should mention before the Danny Burch thing, that probably was his last match, or one of his last matches, because that was the final taping for him. Speaking of last, this may be his last, or unless he has one more shot. Oliver Gray took on Mojo Rawley.
Really quick squash match. Really quick.
Really, really quick. Mojo won in the squash. Should mention before this match, Adrian Neville talked to the cameraman. Said Brodus knocked out his teeth, but he said he's fought too hard to lose to someone like Brodus. He said this time he wouldn't win by the count out, but he will win clean in the middle for the 1-2-3. Just mention that as well. So yes, the Mojo won via the squash, and then we got the title match. Adrian Neville versus Brodus Clay, no disqualification for the NXT Championship. This match was a little bit better than I thought it was. It was better than their first encounter.
Yeah, the no DQ stuff definitely helped them. Especially for Brodus. It definitely helped.
There was a nice dive early by Neville in the match over the top rope. Neville used his kicks and his speed to his advantage early on and looked like he had Brodus on the ropes, but Brodus fired back, used his power and strength to take control after the early offense by Neville. Neville makes a comeback by sort of taking out the legs of Brodus Clay, but Brodus stopped that comeback. He had a big splash from the top rope for a two count. Brodus started getting frustrated, got the NXT title, brought it into the ring. Then he, went to use it on Neville, but Neville kicked the belt right back in the face of Brodus Clay, and down went the big monster, and Neville climbs the top rope as the valiant champion that he is, and hits the red arrow for the victory. So Adrian Neville retains the NXT Championship, and William Regal put this over like it was the biggest win in the history of wins.
Well, for Neville, it really is.
Oh, it is, but he Regal put it over. Huge.
That's his job.
Regal has a mad crush on Neville.
He has a mad crush on a lot of people. Just pointing that out.
Yeah, he does. So, good addition of NXT. I liked it. I liked that they gave them some of the matches some time.
I do. Again, I still think they need more time. I think another half hour wouldn't kill them at all. It would probably help them in some cases, but I like the show. It was very well paced. Again, I like how they're making the women's title feel important. Feel like it matters, that, you know, it's not like, okay, well, we're going to strip Paige of the title and now we're going to demote the belt. No, they're making it feel important. They're not invalidating Paige's reign as champion at all by just, you know, half-assing it, which is nice.
I agree.
And I like that they brought in some of the main roster divas. I have a really funny feeling it's probably going to come down to Charlotte and Sasha.
We'll see.
Because I think they're going to turn one of them. I think they're going to turn Sasha.
Oh, we'll have to see.
We'll have to see. But on that note, that wraps NXT, so we're going to take our final break of the evening, very quick break, so don't go too far away. And when we come back, we're going to have Tweet of the Week, and we're going to do our Extreme Rules Pick'em and discussion, and of course, we're going to do our question of the night, which is, what are you looking forward to at Extreme Rules?
Plus, we have breaking news when we get back.
Oh, God, that always scares me. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter I, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name.
you can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio GOE. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air, every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
Radio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/mbg1211 for all your wrestling figure needs. And again, go check out his videos because they're amazing and awesome. And we're not biased, not at all.
Nope.
So now, Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I just have one, because I kind of forgot. Luke Harper. We'll sing our hearts with unity. We'll stand with zero division. The ways of old can be swept away. He's got you and me, brother.
There you go. Only one, really?
Only one, that's all I have. Because, again, I completely forgot.
I have plenty to make up for it. Now,
I have little doubt about
it. And it's been 2 weeks, so anyway, sit back and enjoy. Natty goes, the Easter Bunny is bringing Louie and Charlotte a brother. I need help naming him. I like the name Zeb. Suggestions?
Wait, they're getting another cat?
They're getting another cat, yes. Don't let Cameron near it.
Seriously, do not let her cat sit.
So Gail Kim replies, name him after Tyson, a.k.a. Heel. Natty goes, yes, TJ loves being the bad guy. TJ replied, I'm the consummate good guy. Gail Kim goes, can't wait to meet Heel, so cute. Zeb Coulter goes, Zeb is a great name for that handsome cat. TJ goes, Zeb is out of the question.
Wrestlers on Twitter is the greatest thing for
TJ, and Natty replied to all, TJ is saying the kitten is more a Paul Heyman guy. Decisions?
Oh, please tell me Paul Heyman got in on this.
No. Paul Heyman was not involved in this. Or at least as far as I saw. That's the end of the conversation I saw. Sports Nation goes, happy birthday, Tony Romo. We were going to throw you a party, but it got intercepted.
You just had to throw that out there, didn't you?
I did. Someone Rob Flores from ESPN and another colleague from ESPN were tweeting, when did Hornswoggle join, you know, 3MB? Jim Ross replied, it's a short-term contract. Sorry. Someone named Keep It Five Star goes, and that, kids, is how I met your mother, quoting Santina's Cobra. You know, when the pink Cobra came out. This is for last week's Impact, Rockstar Spot. Currently preparing a list of requests if I should reach the end my real Kurt Angle this Thursday on Impact Wrestling. Hashtag pray for Spud. Hashtag last request. His requests were number one, 67 copies of Moby Dick, the movie. Hashtag pray for Spud. Number two, Madonna to show up and tell me face to face that she has made some mistakes. Three, a woman, doesn't matter whom, to show up with a bacon sandwich with brown sauce made with British bacon. Hashtag pray for Spud. We have British bacon? Number four, a sequel to be made of Point Break. And number five, an American football helmet filled with cottage cheese. Pray for Spud. Or for Spud, rather.
An American football helmet filled with cheese?
Cottage cheese.
Okay.
Yes.
Is he going to eat it?
I don't know. The fake ESPN goes, tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, this was for last week, NFL to release 31 2014 NFL schedules and one list of the teams the Jaguars will lose to. From the fake Tim Tebow, he released his 2014 schedule. Week 1, bye. Week 2, bye. Week 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, through 17, bye. Sorry, Tim Tebow. Betty freaking White. You probably heard about this story yesterday on Twitter, but here's our top news story, says the local TV news anchor. That's very true. Heel Ziggler, gotta love playoff hockey. Hard-hitting, emotional, and the fans live for it. You know, basically the opposite of Damian Sandow.
Ouch.
Lindsay's friend Melinda, what's the big deal about pine tar use in baseball? When they start using a megaphone, shock stick, or guitar, then we'll talk. Hashtag foreign object. Cody Rhodes, I am considering purchasing Donut King KC. It will be my Wayne Enterprises. This is real. Paul Domowicz, a writer here in Philadelphia. Breaking, NFL wants to expand to 4 days, combine to 2 weeks, season 18 games, and Christmas morning to a month. Someone tweeted Frankie Kazarian, Kazarian, what Muppet do you want to punch? Miss Piggy and Joseph Park.
Poor Joseph Park.
Poor Joseph Park. Oprah Rose goes to Adam Horowitz, LA on Twitter, wondering why Charming has a flip phone. Will he ever upgrade to a smartphone? Hashtag once upon a time. Adam Horowitz, the writer, goes, he signed a long-term contract. Big penalty to change phones. Figured you'd get a kick out of that one.
Y'all, they came from fairy tale land. You really expect them to be able to work a smartphone?
I'm surprised they got a flip phone. Anyway.
I'm surprised they have one at all.
That's what I mean. Robert Flores, this is the craziest episode of Glee ever. Hashtag raw. You know, the opening. And finally, Landstorm. If WLC is a midget stepladder match, I hope whatever is hanging is low enough that the ref keeps bumping it with his head. Hashtag raw. That is Tweet of the Week.
Alright, well now we're going to go into our final segment of the evening. That's right, folks. We've gotten here at last. We're going to be talking all about Extreme Rules, which takes place this Sunday. We've got a lot to talk about, but before we get into the matches and we kind of preview them and do our pick 'em, we're going to do our question of the night, which is, of course, what are you looking forward to at Extreme Rules?
A lot are looking forward to S.H.I.E.L.D. and Evolution. Got a few responses on that. One person said they're looking forward to not having to pay full price for it and having it on the WWE Network.
Holler.
One person said Big E versus Bad News Barrett. And, of course, people are looking forward to Wyatt versus Cena.
So, what are you looking forward to?
Wyatt versus Cena. What about you? What about you?
Duh.
Wyatt versus Cena. Yeah. So there you go. Yep. That's that question of the night. Simple and easy.
Now we're gonna save that one for one of the last ones we talk about.
Now we'll get fully into it. Now before we get into it, right? You forgot about the breaking news.
Oh dear, I'm terrified. Go on with your breaking news.
This breaking news gets a sounder. So here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to
I did jazz hands at the end, just so everybody knows.
It is her birthday here on the East Coast, and now in the Central Time Zone, so I figured, since we're on the air, and I think she's been waiting for me to do something at some point during the show.
Yeah, I'll get you back, don't worry. Yes, tomorrow is my birthday, so again, or actually technically today, if you're on the East Coast, or in Central Time, if you're in Arizona, or the West Coast, it has not flipped over. It's still technically May 1st. So yes, it is my birthday on Friday. Yay! I technically celebrated last week, so I have to figure out what I'm going to do. But, so, if anybody would like to send me Bray Wyatt, let me know.
There you go. But yes, happy birthday, officially on the air.
Or get him to tweet me. Which, please don't do that, because he'll probably get blocked.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
We've already risked ourselves getting blocked last night. Was it last night or the night before?
It was on Main Event, so it was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
And he didn't block me because it still says I'm following him, so I'm sure he reads all his tweets, he just doesn't care. I think you have to really piss him off to get him to block you.
We asked a couple questions.
Apparently, Sheamus did not appreciate getting kissed on the forehead by Bray Wyatt.
That's all we're going to say. Anyway, moving on to Extreme Rules, presented by GoNHLGo.com. Go sign up for the forums now.
Yes, so we're going to start with the first match in the list that I have. By the way, thank you, King Kittens. Which is R-Truth and Xavier Woods taking on Alexander Rusev.
If it isn't clear, this is going to be a squash match.
Oh, yeah. But Lana will look great.
Lana will look awesome.
But yeah, so no real surprise there, Rusev.
I want Rusev to look strong. And honestly, if they really want to do something, since it is a handicap matchup, Rusev should look strong. But give a little bit of back and forth. R-Truth is a former champion in the WWE, so he's former NWA champion. He should be able to carry himself against Rusev. So give it a little. I like to see a little bit of a back and forth, but, you know, let's see.
Yeah. Rusev.
Yeah, Rusev wins. We should, before we move on, we should talk about the pre-show.
We should talk about the pre-show.
Which is available, I think it's only on, is it on just the WWE Network? I'm not positive.
I believe it is, yes.
So another,
it might be on YouTube, I'm not sure though.
I don't think they've announced that part yet. But anyway, going into the Extreme Rules pre-show, which of course will be on the WWE Network, at the very least, it is El Torito versus Hornswoggle in the third match in the series of epic, colossal showdowns in the greatest rivalry since Andre versus Hogan, Steamboat versus Savage, Hogan versus Warrior, this will go down in history as the greatest of all time. It's WLC.
I don't even know how I feel about this. I really don't. I just don't.
It's WLC. This will either be really, really bad or really, really fun.
I expect somebody to get gored in the butt and gored in the balls. I expect it to happen. Because that seems to be the theme, and hopefully it's not Drew McIntyre this go-round.
I would expect... JBL will have a field day with this one, because he's been enjoying the first two encounters. Like, they're the most epic encounters ever when they fight.
JBL likes midgets.
He does, and as many people say here, midgets equal ratings.
Yes.
There is no doubt in my mind El Torito wins.
Yeah, I'm going to go with El Torito on this one. Yeah. They're trying to push the Matadors, or at least they're trying to push Torito. So, yeah.
I can't wait for the shenanigans in WLC.
Oh, they'll be epic. Matadors and bands abound in this one.
I want mini... There's a contract signing tomorrow on SmackDown.
Oh, jeez. I may have to watch that. I'm going to have to watch it anyway because of what takes place, but... Yeah, I may have to watch that. So, up next, we have RVD taking on Jack Swagger and Cesaro in a triple threat match.
I believe this will turn out to be an elimination match, I think.
I'm not sure.
I think that's the rules for this one. I'm double-checking. I remember seeing Horrific saying it would be elimination, but they may have changed it by now. But this is we've seen the rivalry build up, involving the, especially with Cesaro and Swagger since WrestleMania. RVD was thrown in there when Cesaro took on Van Damme, and Van Damme took the count-out victory over Cesaro. And, you know, Swagger's just been involved a little bit as well. You know, Zeb and Heyman will be involved. This should be a tremendous matchup. These three guys all can go a little bit. I think this will be an underrated match on the show. But this one... At least to me, this is all about showcasing Cesaro.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I expect that Cesaro will look very good. RVD is there to enhance Cesaro. So.
Yeah, I was reading the preview on WWE.com, see if it said elimination, because I remember seeing a picture saying elimination, and maybe they announced that on SmackDown. But yeah, it should be a good three-way between these guys. I'm looking forward to it. I think Cesaro picks up the victory. RVD probably doesn't take. I would assume Swagger takes the pinfall if it's not elimination. If it is elimination, I can see him going out first.
You know, honestly, I would rather see RVD go out first, and then you bring it down to Cesaro and Swagger. Or you have RVD turn one way or another, and he either helps Cesaro or he helps Swagger. But, because RVD's there for a reason, but it's just it's odd to put him in when he doesn't really belong. So it's like, okay, well, he's there for a reason, let's see what it is.
True. I can see them moving on to a Cesaro RVD program after this battle.
Absolutely, yeah. But I mean, in terms of an elimination tag, I'd honestly like to see RVD go out first, and then you have it between Swagger and Cesaro, because I think you could actually do a really good match between those two.
They could, but I think we're both on the same page that Cesaro is going to pick up the victory.
Yeah, Cesaro.
Okay. What's next?
Speaking of Paige, you have the newly crowned... See what I did there?
I did. That was clever. Well done.
Divas champion Paige taking on the number one contender Tamina Snuka for the Divas championship.
Tamina won the championship, the title shot in a battle royal on main event 2-3 weeks ago at this point. Paige is starting down at the bottom, working her way to the top. She had a better showdown with Alicia Fox on Main Event this past week. She had a nice cradle DDT for her victory over Alicia Fox on Main Event, which is on the WWE Network, which is kind of fun to watch. Tamina's there to, again, it's another one of those cases of the veteran performer is there to make the up and comer look good, and this is a match to give Paige a real test. But I don't, it's too early to take the belt off of her.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to drop the belt. If AJ's going to come back soon, they're probably waiting on AJ to come back to finish that feud out. I do expect this to be a very physical match.
I agree, and AJ's supposed to come back within the next month or so.
Yeah, so I look for this to be very physical between Tamina and Paige. I'll be curious to see how they mix. Paige can get aggressive when she wants to be. So this will be her first real test as champion. Not to say that the other girls weren't, but Tamina is not the other girls. So
no, and here's the thing with Tamina. She supposedly has the good ability. She's supposedly a top diva. She's strong, she's powerful, but I have never seen Tamina deliver this groundbreaking match, and hopefully on Sunday she's able to.
Well, to be credit for Tamina, or to even give her credit, she doesn't wrestle much.
No, and she's never really been given that opportunity, and when she has, it hasn't really struck me, at least this is me, it hasn't struck me as, oh, it's Tamina, she is tremendous in what she does. That being said, she could wow me on Sunday.
I'm hoping she does. I'm hoping this is a good match. You know, it's something of you're kind of leery, especially since it's been a while since we've seen Tamina really wrestle more than a handful of matches, because they've had her in the manager role / heavy role for so long now that she was wrestling very infrequently.
Right. She's been back in the ring a little bit more lately, so hopefully by Sunday she's ready to go and they put on a decent match. I'm looking forward to see what they deliver. It's not one of those things like, oh my god, the Divas wrestling. Bathroom break. No. This one you're going to have to sit around and watch.
Yeah. So, either way, I still say Paige is going to pick up the victory.
I agree.
And I would actually love to see her get Tamina in that Scorpion Deathlock.
If she can, that would be impressive. I don't see her doing that, though.
I don't see her doing it, but it would be very impressive if she could make that happen.
That would be a strong statement for Paige.
Yeah. But anyway, both going Paige. After this, we have your Intercontinental Champion, Big E, taking on Bad News Barrett and his supervillain cape.
They've done a really good job of building up Wade Barrett in the last few weeks.
Yes, they have. I'm liking how they're making him strong again. They're giving him a push.
The Intercontinental Tournament has done wonders for him. They built this tournament, did wonders for a lot of wrestling, a lot of good wrestling, and since WrestleMania, Bad News Barrett has been on fire, and the crowd has really gotten behind Bad News Barrett. I'm glad he deserves it. Glad to see him back on track.
Yes. So, good to see. That being said, you know, Barrett won a tournament to become the number one contender. Who do you see taking home the gold?
I've got some bad news for Big E. He's losing his title.
Yeah, and I'm kind of disappointed. I was hoping they would do more with him in the title, and they just really never did.
He got it at the wrong time.
Yeah.
He got it in WrestleMania season, and, well, he wasn't featured at WrestleMania, so he was sort of in the background.
Yeah, sadly, that's true.
But hey, for all those paying attention, Dean Ambrose defends the title this Friday on SmackDown.
Against three guys. Are y'all happy?
Y'all happy now?
So sick of everybody complaining, oh, he never defends the title, blah, 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 blah. Well, now he's doing it. He's doing it against three people.
Sorry. There you go.
I don't like when my Dino gets, you know, has to do these kinds of things.
She's very protective of her Dino.
I am.
Because
I really
that
am.
Because that's what his Nemo was.
Yes, you know. Dino is his Nemo. Or Dean.
It's been that's old school throwback,
yes.
Lindsay. She hasn't done Dean in a while.
Yeah. Well, Bray Wyatt showed up. So anyway, yeah, I'm gonna kinda go with Barrett on this one too. His stock is really high in the company right now. A lot of people are liking him, so I'm saying the title comes over to Barrett, give it a little bit more visibility, and you move Big E on to something else.
I wouldn't mind a feud between the two and let Big E chase a little bit.
Oh, I wouldn't mind a feud between the two either. Absolutely not. But I can see Barrett winning.
I'm with you.
So, after this, moving on, we're going to kind of sort of shake things up a little bit, not go according to the list, because there's one match that I kind of want to hold off talking about. We have what will probably, possibly be the match of the night, The Shield taking on Evolution.
This should be a good one. I'm glad to see Evolution come back, and they're actually teaming together, which is kind of awesome. Really liking that fact that they're put together in this kind of manner. They've done a great job of building up all three of them up as a strong, strong faction. And this gives the Shield three guys, three former world champions, in a main event. This is probably main event of the show, without question. Three guys. Hunter said on the WWE.com interview with Renee Young this week, 31 title reigns between the three of them. 31.
Yeah. Most of them are Hunters.
Well, about 13 are Hunters. But still, that's still what? That's 18 between the two of them, so that's another 8-9 piece on average. A lot of world titles between the two.
Yeah, this will be the Shield's toughest challenge to date. I mean, it's one thing to take on the Wyatt family. What they did with the Wyatt family was absolutely amazing. Everything they have done before this is amazing. Evolution is a completely different, pardon the pun, animal.
And this should be a really good matchup. This will get a lot of time. The Shield will make they're going to play the baby faces in this match. This should be good. You got Hunter in there. You got Batista in there. You got Randy Orton in there. Three guys who can go when they're motivated. And they seem very motivated to take on the Shield. And this should be a battle.
Yes, this should be a battle. Absolutely. This will be a war.
My gut tells me Roman beats Batista.
Hunter.
I'm going Batista.
I'm saying they're going to set up Hunter Roman in this. That's what they're going to use this for, because that's what they're pushing for SummerSlam, so they're going to go ahead and start setting the seeds of that to build a feud between those two.
I think it's a little too early to have Hunter be pinned by Roman.
Yeah, but you can start laying the groundwork for the feud at least.
Oh, you can, but I see Batista taking the fall in this one, having Roman spear Batista. I think that's the finish to this match. That's at least that's how I would do it. Either way, we both see the Shield going over.
I don't know.
No?
That's the thing. I don't know, because it's one of those things. I can see the Shield going over, but if the Shield goes over, then Evolution's kind of dead, because it's one thing, you know. I can almost maybe see the Shield losing to Evolution, and the Shield then seeks revenge.
Would you?
And you try to get one more match.
I wouldn't mind Evolution winning. I really, really wouldn't mind it. I think it would tell a better story with Evolution winning, honestly, because then you have the Shield hungry. Because, go ahead.
In my head, I can see Evolution winning, because it's like Hunter lost at Mania, Batista lost at Mania, and Orton lost at Mania. So you kind of have to make those up. And they all lost to the same guy. So that you kind of have to make that up, and the Shield will honestly not be hurt by a loss to Evolution. It won't do anything to them whatsoever. If anything, like you said, it will make them hungry. It will make them want to get revenge, because now the Shield have something to prove. It's, like I said, they're going up against a very tough challenge. And so it's, they go in, and I can see them either underestimating Evolution or Evolution overpowers them, because again, Evolution, they don't play fair.
No, they don't, and you just swayed my opinion. You just changed my pick. Like, I was all set on the Shield, and that was a good argument. I like that argument. Yeah,
and I just, because you have to keep the authority strong, and that's the thing. So to have Hunter, I could see Hunter eventually losing to the Shield, or I could see Evolution eventually losing to the Shield, and that puts the Shield over. But I don't see the Shield hitting it out of the park. I see Evolution ultimately getting the better of the Shield and taking the victory. Either they exacerbate those cracks that were previously in the Shield somehow, or they generally overpower them, because you're dealing with the best of the best here.
You really are, and that's a good point. You are dealing with Hunter, Orton, and Batista, and they do need a win.
Yeah, so honestly, I'm going to go with Evolution. I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to go with Evolution.
You swayed me. I'm going Evolution now. You swayed my opinion. That's, like I said, that's on the Shield. You swayed my opinion. I'll go Evolution. I like that scenario better.
Ha! Genius. So, up next we're going to talk about the World Heavyweight Championship match between Daniel Bryan and the newly revived Monster Kane.
Kane found his mask, broke it out, grew some hair, the hair club for men, worked, got the long hair flowing again, ready for a monster fight again. He's a demon.
It was attached to the mask.
Hair club for men.
It's a wig.
Hair club for men. It grew overnight. It's tremendous. Kane is the monster when he has the mask. And he's been a very demon-like monster. I really liked how they booked him the last 2 weeks. They've made him look like a legitimate badass monster. 3 tombstones 2 weeks ago. Trying to drag Bree to hell last week. They have booked Kane very, very well. He looks like an intimidating monster. And that is what you need at this point.
Yeah. You really need Kane. You need to give Daniel Bryan, as Stephanie said, a challenge. And the monster version of Kane, which Daniel Bryan has really never faced, is a challenge. Because we saw Kane just physically overwhelm Daniel Bryan. Just manhandle him and beat the crap out of him.
Right.
And when Kane is like this, this is when Kane is his most dangerous, obviously. Because he's not just being a stupid monster. You can tell. He's using his brain. He's thinking.
If I only had a brain.
No.
No.
So, I don't know in this one. I know what my heart wants. I know my heart's not going to get it.
Hashtag Kane movement?
It's too early to take the titles off of Daniel Bryan. They just literally put the belt on him. I don't know. I don't see this being clean. There's too much between these two for this to be clean.
With the stipulation of it being extreme rules, a lot of bells, a lot of whistles, a lot of brawling, a lot of cupboard, and it'll take a lot to keep the monster down, but I see Daniel Bryan finally overcoming the monster and slaying him in this one.
Yeah, I can see Daniel Bryan winning, but it's going to be a really, really, really hard fight. I wouldn't be surprised if Bree is involved somehow.
But I should mention, I love the fact that they've involved Bree in this angle.
Oh, it's great. I wouldn't be surprised if Steph doesn't get involved. I wouldn't be, you know, it's just all the players that have been in this would not be surprised to see them show up in some capacity. But yeah, this is going to be a really physical contest between Kane and Bryan. They're going to turn the emotion up. They're going to pull from, you know, Team Hell No. They're going to pull from all the issues before Team Hell No. All the stuff since. You know, it's because you can blame, kind of, if you want to, a lot of basically what happened with the Wyatts to Kane on Daniel Bryan, because Daniel Bryan wasn't there and didn't have Kane's back. And now Kane's getting revenge for what happened with the Wyatt family, whatever that was.
That Lindsay's still searching for the answer for.
I'm desperately searching for closure on that, damn it. I need closure.
Yes, yes, she does. But Daniel, yeah. Daniel Bryan's keeping the gold.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan's going to retain. It will be a hard-fought fight, but yeah, Daniel Bryan's going to retain.
He will earn it.
Oh, yeah. And then some. Because we'll see the monster come out in Daniel Bryan.
Yes, we will. And then we have what the match we're most looking forward to in this one.
And at that point, the world's not going to have a chance. See.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Just remember, you're going to have that stuck in your head, not me. I'm good.
That's a lie. Anyway,
yes, this will probably be match of the night for me. This is the one I'm looking forward to. John Cena takes on Bray Wyatt in a cage match.
This is going to tell a really good story. They're going to use the cage to its advantage. They're going to make it seem like John Cena's trying to... Bray Wyatt will try to escape, and John Cena's going to continue to keep the monster trapped in the cage and won't let him out. He's going to do everything he can to defeat the monster that is Bray Wyatt in the cage. They're going to tell some stories. John Cena's going to get hurt a little bit. He's going to get banged around a lot. Bray Wyatt's going to, you know, flaunt his stuff. He's going to get all up in the cageness of the cage during this one. And the story they've been building up has been fantastic.
Oh, yeah. This is great. I love the message that they sent on Monday, which with Bray Wyatt coming out with a choir, and the choir surrounds the cage with Cena in it, and it's not necessarily that Cena is trying to keep something out. He's trapped himself.
He is also trapped himself in the cage with a monster, yes.
Honestly, I don't see Bray Wyatt trying to escape. If they have Bray Wyatt escape, I would be very, very disappointed in that finish, because I think it's something I want to see Bray Wyatt prove his point and show that there is a monster inside of Cena, and then Bray Wyatt beats the monster. Bray Wyatt defeats John Cena in the middle of that ring, 1-2-3.
I can see a point where Bray Wyatt starts to exit the cage and John Cena, you know, eggs him back in. And wants him to finish the job.
See, I don't see Bray running away, because Bray hasn't run away. That's the thing. From day one, Bray Wyatt has not run away from John Cena. If anything, John Cena has kind of run away from Bray Wyatt.
True.
So, you know, Bray is out to prove a point. Bray is out to prove that John Cena is a liar and John Cena is not who he says he is. And Bray Wyatt will do everything in his power to bring that out of Cena. And I think it's really important that, since apparently they forgot about the Daniel Bryan match, that you have Bray Wyatt get it done without Harper and Rowan. That you show once again that Bray Wyatt does not need help to take out an opponent. He's perfectly capable of doing it on his own.
Right.
Because that's whole John Cena's whole thing is, oh, you need your goons to do it for you. No, he really doesn't.
No, Bray Wyatt has the capability to get things done on his own.
So that's really what I would like to see. Is I know this is going to be physical. I know they're going to get violent with each other. I think Cena walked into this knowing that, and that's what he wants. So I expect them to get violent. I expect to see that anger kind of boil over with John Cena. Because Bray Wyatt's just going to continue to just poke at him. And poke at him and poke at him and poke at him. And it's like, as we saw, Cena put the mask back on at the end of Raw last week, where it's, oh, it's happy-go-lucky Cena and everything's fine. Because that's his natural reaction to anything when he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to say or how to react or whatever.
Right.
So it's, I'm going to tell jokes and try and get around the situation until I can figure it out.
Correct. That's what he does. That's what he always does. He falls back on his shtick when he's in a situation he can't. When it's too serious for him, he always goes to the joke.
Yeah. So I want to see Bray Wyatt break through that and expose the real John Cena. And show him for who he really is.
And it is at a point where Bray Wyatt needs the victory.
He should have won at Mania. He really honestly should have won at Mania. I still say it's a mistake. I understand why they had Bray Wyatt lose. But he should have won at Mania.
Oh, he should have.
I know he's back on track, but it still hurt him that he lost.
And killed a little bit of the momentum, but Bray Wyatt has, like any good heel would do, picks up the microphone and gets back on track. And Bray's on track, and he should win on Sunday.
Yeah, he should. And I would like to see him win on Sunday. I would like to see him defeat John Cena in the middle of the ring. Because at some point, I can honestly see Cena trying to run from Bray. And maybe there isn't a monster, but what if there's a coward?
That would be interesting.
You know, what if the real John Cena is not as brave as we think he is? I mean, you know, we don't know how they're going to play it out, but yeah, I'd like to see them evolve the Cena character using Bray Wyatt, obviously, and at some point maybe Cena tries to run and Bray stops it.
I can see that. Continue.
Because again, once that door closes, you're in there with a monster.
And this was Cena's choice.
And you could tell Monday he's thinking, oh crap, what have I done? Because you just basically gave Bray Wyatt exactly what he wanted. He's got you in a cage. You can't really go anywhere. So he can literally stand there and beat the crap out of you and screw with your head and torment you till you give up. Until he gets what he wants.
Right.
So I'm going with Bray Wyatt just because he really needs the win.
I'm going Bray Wyatt as well.
And also because I want him to win.
That's a given.
That's my boo-boo.
That is your boo-boo. That really, really is. And again, it's very simple.
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
We won't be playing that next week, just so everybody knows. So sorry, it's been played like 20 times.
Oh, we will be. It's a new soundbite. It's going to be played often.
We're not going to play it 20 times a night.
Oh, we'll be played 20 times a night now.
Every once in a while, it's fine.
Yeah, but it's a new toy, so we use a new toy.
Yes, we have a new toy. So on that note, that wraps up our Extreme Rules Pick'em.
Yes, it does.
So unless I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
All right, well then, plug stuff.
Tomorrow afternoon, the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 2 Episode 6 review will be out online for your listening pleasure at Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, midnight edition, the CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We'll talk Extreme Rules, we'll talk Sacrifice. We will talk movies. We will talk whatever else we could possibly think of. It's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the usual. Follow show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com. Cigarette butts and bandanas. Go to CBRadio.EWZone.com for every single archive. 329 episodes available for your listening pleasure there. Sunday, it is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. Recapping Extreme Rules. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com. Well, Monday night's Raw post show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover the fallout of Extreme Rules on that event. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Check out RackRadioShow.com. Follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Go to NHLGo.com, sign up. Forums. Yeah, good.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Under the Contact Us section of my website is a link to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to buy my artwork, it is available for sale on t-shirts, posters, hoodies, you name it. It's available for sale there, redbubble.com. Just click on the link, it'll take you there. If you just want to view my artwork, you can go to Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter, and it is there for your viewing pleasure. I don't have any new pieces out, but all your favorites are there, including Portrait of Wyatt, Rumors, and so many more, so check that out. Also, please visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesday, which comes out conveniently on Wednesdays and Fridays. That's youtube.com/mbg1211. Check out The Rack Extra. Go to rackradioshow.com. And, of course, listen to The Rack every week, Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. But on that note, I think we're done. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here, and we will see you next week. Bye!